It just feels surreal right now, doesn't it? Like watching the Toronto Blue Jays. It feels like everything we said that they have to do, oh, they got to go on some incredible run if they're going to catch the vaunted Red Sox and Yankees. Wow, look at the Yankees winning 13 in a row. Blue Jays are done. So many texting in the radio station. Why are you guys talking about the Blue Jays? They're done, they're done, they're done. It just feels surreal these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that was like just a huge overreaction, frankly. Like, I mean, this team was always, in my opinion, always going to mount like some kind of like attempt. I didn't think it was necessarily going to be like of these proportions, because at this point, literally everything is going right for this Blue Jays team, right? I mean, you know, you're having a guy like Breivik Valera who's like hitting out of his mind, you know, it's one of those times where it's like everything is going well. I mean, it all starts with pitching. I know we're all excited by the bats, particularly after what happened over the weekend at Baltimore. It was a fun weekend to watch. And last night, too, I mean, you know, it means something more to you know, put a touchdown past the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Baltimore Orioles. But I do think that it all sort of comes down to the fact that the rotation has really clicked over the last month, or a little bit more than a month. And that's something that, you know, you always needed to see from the Blue Jays. I mean, pitching had to get better. The bats had to heat up. The defense had to get better. The bullpen had to stop like leaking runs at the end of the game. And it's all clicked. And right. You know, I mean, it's that's incredibly fun to watch. And honestly, for Blue Jays fans, like, it's really exciting to see. I'm sure it was exciting to be in the building last night. And, you know, I think that like this city deserves it after this team deserves it after what they've been through over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's something I think we'll look back at the 2021 Toronto Blue Jays. And I think that was a crutch that was kind of, or a built-in excuse. And I think it's been very difficult for the Blue Jays to have three homes this year. And I think that's what makes this even more impressive, right? Because we don't know, because we treat professional athletes as commodities. We don't treat them as human beings. And we're all guilty of doing that. And not having a home for essentially a year and a half is tough. Is very tough. And now you see what that means when they're at Rogers Center playing in their own home ballpark. And it's just, we're not, I don't think we've given this team enough credit to A, playing in such a tough division, and B, being in their third home this season. I think that's what makes this run even more remarkable, when everything comes together at the absolute most important time of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you can say that for any of Toronto's professional teams over the last couple of years, right? Like, I mean, I don't think that we've given enough credit to Toronto FC or to the Raptors or to the Jays for what they have gone through. And I think that you're absolutely right about the commodity thing. Like, especially baseball players, they love routine. Like, they thrive on routine, and they're doing well. You hear it so much. You know, Vladdy is doing well because Vladdy is consistently stuck with his routine. Well, like, his routine might mean a specific bed, a specific mattress, you know, like, who knows, or a specific like breakfast place, or a specific length of the walk to the ballpark to get yourself in the right headspace. And that might all be based on Rogers Center, right? So I do think that plays into it. And I think that at the end of the day, it's important for us to remember that these players are human beings as well. And when you're, you know, for example, away from your family, it can bring down your work, that kind of thing. So I also do think, though, that maybe it's powerful for them now. Like, I mean, maybe they've the resiliency that this team has built up, and the fact that they're, you know, not down after that poor stretch in August, it comes from the fact that they have dealt with harder things, and they know how to put it together when it matters. So it's really fun to watch, and it'll be really interesting to see how it goes the rest of the way here.
Laura, am I getting way ahead of myself? Because obviously right now they're in that number one wild card spot, and you got to win that one wild card game, which is always such a nail biter. And we saw it in 2016 when they beat the Orioles. Thanks for that one too. Baltimore sitting their best receiver, Zach Britton. But whatever, that's ancient history now. The hottest teams generally have really deep runs in baseball. We saw the Washington Nationals do that, go ride that all the way to the World Series. If they get past that wild card game, assuming they get there, and I don't think there's any reason to believe why they can't be a playoff team now, the percentages show it, why can't this team potentially win a world championship or even get damn close?
Oh, boy. You're taking us to the end of October, aren't you?
Why not?
I don't know. Listen, it's an interesting question.
Hot.
They are scorching hot, and you're right. Momentum wins championships, and I'm not entirely disagreeing with you. I think that the one thing is that, like, when you look at the teams that they're competing against right now, and I don't mean the teams that they're necessarily competing against on the field, but the teams that they're competing against for this wild card spot, like, I think they're better than the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mariners, the Oakland A's. Like, I think that they're better than that. The question will be, can they be consistently better than teams that are, like, on paper and have been for the course of this season better than them? And it might be a matter of, it might absolutely be a matter of, the Blue Jays are the team that has the momentum, and they're scary. They are absolutely scary. I mean, you don't pull off an 8-0 result against the Tampa Bay Rays and think, oh, these guys don't have a shot. Right. But it's just going to be a matter of, like, how consistent can they be? And I mean, what they've shown, one of the things that I think that is really important over this last stretch between the Yankees and Baltimore is the fact that they really haven't dropped games for a lot of time during this series. Like, this season, they were winning two games. You know, when they were hot earlier in the year, they were winning 2 of 3 games, right? And in the playoffs, you can't do that. You need to try and win them all, or you need to be close to winning them all. So it's definitely a possibility. Have I marked my calendar for, like, October 28th or when the World Series starts? Not yet. But am I completely – have I booked my vacation? No.
Good. I don't think you should, because there's a chance. Yeah. And we know the baseball playoffs is a crapshoot. It's the team that's the hottest potentially could ride that momentum. Although, I'm just saying, again, I just get past that wild card game and bring on whoever, because this starting rotation, and I think that's even Jamie and Joe talked about it last night. The starters is kind of what's been maybe even more impressive. It's pretty much lockdown, right? And out of all these, the one loss they have in Baltimore would be the one you think they would never lose, with Robbie Ray on the mound against the stinking Baltimore Orioles, and that's the one game they lost. When that guy's right there in the Cy Young conversation, yeah, I know Hyunjin Ryu is struggled a little bit, but even last night, Manoah's been fantastic. Barrios is really finding his stride now here, too. We'll see him pitch tonight down at Rogers Center. But the rotation, like, Alek Manoah's got to be one of the, and again, these are first world problems here, Laura. Like, is Manoah a top three guy in a DS series, or he's the fourth? I don't even know what the pitching rotation looks like, but the Blue Jays are deep in starting pitching, and if they go deeper, you still have some decent bullpen arms, especially when they're getting healthy. Laura, this team's really coming together at the right time, and I don't think it's crazy that they could potentially have a deep run. I don't think it is.
Well, you know what? You said it probably not first, but because I'm sure other people have said it, but you definitely said it, so you're on the record.
Yeah, that's fine. No, it's fine.
Yeah. No, I'm
on the record.
So you should be. I like it.
I think this team can win the World Series. Yes, I will go on the record and say I think they can. There's obviously a ton of stuff that can happen in a short series, but I think momentum out of the big four, it means something in baseball. And we've seen 100%. It countless times where the best team doesn't win. Are the Blue Jays the best team in baseball? No. Are they the hottest team in baseball? You're damn right. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. Laura
also,
Armstrong.
Go ahead. Go back to it, I would use Alek Manoah 100%. Alek Manoah is a big game guy. If you have three games, you put Alek Manoah out there, I want to see that. I want to see playoff Alek Manoah. That's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he kind of, like, and again, I don't know what he's going to look like in the playoffs if they get there and he gets to pitch. He kind of has that Marcus Stroman vibe about him, right? That, like, I want to see that guy pitch in the postseason.
100%.
I love it. Laura Armstrong, Blue Jays beat writer for the Toronto Star, joining us here at Sportsnet today. George Russick, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Are you as guilty as I am, well, when you watch Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and forget the dude's only 22 years old?
No, I will say that that's the one thing that I do not forget about him, and that's just the one thing that makes this, like, just so incredible and so fun to watch. I am the one who's, like, watched him hit a home run last night, and I was like, he's getting 50. Could he get 55? I don't know. We'll see. Like, I was enthralled. But, I mean, he's just the kind of guy that, like, I definitely think earlier last year and when he was coming up, you do forget that he's young because he feels like he's been around forever. But I also think that part of the thing that people love about Vlad is that he loves baseball. Like, he loves the game, and it's fun to cheer for a guy who loves the game, and you can tell he loves the team, and you can, you know, you watch him cheering for Lourdes Gurriel last night, and you're thinking to yourself, like, this is a kid. This is a kid who can play baseball really, really well. And I think that that's just something, I think that that is kind of like that sort of fearlessness is something that we've seen throughout Canadian sports over the past, you know, couple of months. I think you watch Julia Grosso be the 20 and she takes the final penalty for the women's national team, the soccer team, to win gold. You watch Leila Fernandez, you watch Felix Auger-Aliassime, and then you watch Vlad, and you think to yourself, like, why are these people having success? And I think that to some extent, it's because they have this fearlessness about them, because they don't have the baggage of being like a long time athlete who has lost and who has seen, you know, professional athlete who has lost and who has seen, you know, real hardship. So I think that, you know, Vlad, on top of being extremely good at baseball, is a guy who just loves to play the game. And I think that's why, too, it's important for the Blue Jays to push as much as they can, because if you get these guys, you know, winning or maybe just like exceeding expectations early in their career, then maybe some of that baggage doesn't collect so early. And they're the kind of guys who just like never lose the love for the game. It never just becomes a job for them.
He's only a few RBI behind Jose Abreu to be in the Triple Crown position. Mm-hmm. And Laura, as you mentioned, he's been around forever. We heard all of it. I talked to Sam McKee before he jumped on about how when they signed him as a 16-year-old, wow, mm-hmm. Alex Anthopoulos, who's this kid? Wow, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Wow, that's impressive that the Blue Jays just signed a 16-year-old. But we heard all the comparisons, right? Pujols and Cabrera. Yeah. This guy could be one of the... I think he's right now... is it possible that's even exceeding expectations, Laura, already this part of his career?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the Blue Jays were right to sort of be the people who reminded, you know, fans and media that, you know, Vlad was young. And when he had these moments where he maybe wasn't being the guy that he is being right now, it was kind of like, okay, he's 22. Like he's just at the beginning of his career. Like we're so far away from him being in his prime. Even we're years, probably a handful of years away from him being in his prime. So if this is what like his, like the sort of exterior of his prime looks like, what is his prime going to be? You know, I think that this is maybe a guy that you would have thought would reach 50, 55 home runs, for example, when, you know, 4 or 5 years into his career, and that would have been a pinnacle and it would have been fantastic. And now he's doing it sort of right out of the gate. And I also think when you think about Vlad, you know, you sort of thought potentially when he was coming up, it was very much a matter of he's going to be a slugger, right? And that's great. And he is a slugger. But I think that the one thing that we don't talk about enough about him is the fact that his all-around game is so much better, I think, than we thought it was going to be. Even you think about that Alex Anthopoulos and going to get Vlad when he was young and signing him as a 16-year-old, and it was like he was just coming from the outfield. They were turning him into a third baseman, and now they've turned him into a first baseman, and there's been a lot of chaos for him as a young player trying to learn different positions while also trying to be exceptional at the plate, and he's handled that all very well. So I think that when some of it settles, the dust on that settles a little bit, you're going to look at him and you're going to say, this isn't the player necessarily that Alex Anthopoulos thought he was going to, he thought he was even signing, right? He's a better player because there's different elements of his game that are better. I mean, his conditioning is a huge part of the reason why he's been so good this year. It's a huge part of the reason why he still has the energy to be hitting home runs in September. So I definitely think that, you know, he's exceeding expectations both at the plate, but also as like an his all around game, which I don't necessarily know that at the outset of his career, you thought he's going to be the kind of all around player that could lead a franchise, you know?
With all these games down the stretch here and potentially, getting past the Red Sox and Yankees, mm-hmm. is there a way he could hit his way to the MVP these last few weeks of the season because of how important the games are and recency bias is a thing when it comes to some of these awards?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely look at like Shohei Ohtani, who it feels kind of like the award has already been given to Shohei Ohtani, and I think that what Shohei Ohtani has been doing is exceptional, but I did see someone make the argument on social media, so you know that this is a fantastic argument, be all and end all. But I mean, are we going to give Shohei Ohtani the MVP for the rest of his career because he pitches and he hits and he does both quite well? Like, I don't know. So it's an interesting question. It's going to be a question for people who are voting to grapple with for years to come, frankly, hopefully, because we want to continue to see Shohei Ohtani do what he does. And maybe the recency bias will come into play with him in the sense that this is sort of the first year he's done it like very well at a high level. And so maybe that's, you know, just something that people can't get past. But he hasn't been hitting as well in the second half of the season. His pitching numbers have been very good in the second half of the season. So we'll see how that balances out. But certainly if Vlad, you know, manages to, what is it? What do they have? 18 games left and he gets five more home runs and passes 50 or more than five home runs. Then I think, you know, it's definitely possible that he at least garners more votes and makes it a competition, because it does sort of feel like it's been written in like for a long time now that Ohtani is going to be the MVP. And at the very least, you'd like to see Vlad push him for that award and get some recognition, because if he's going to win a triple crown, then it's wild to think that he's not just like on, he's not just the automatic choice.
Can I ask you a serious question before we go? And I hate ending on a serious
sure.
note, but I think it's important.
Okay.
Last night's attendance down at Rogers Center was the lowest since last night's game was the first game where only fully vaccinated fans can attend. Do you think there's a correlation there?
I think that there absolutely could be a correlation there, and I give the Blue Jays full credit for implementing this protocol. I think that baseball and watching baseball is a luxury. And I think that if you're going to be a person who is helping your community, then to stay healthy, then you should absolutely be able to go watch baseball games. And I think that everybody, if that's what's going to get you into the ball, get you to get a vaccine, is your ability to go to the ballpark, that's fantastic. But I think that we forget, and it's easy as sports fans to forget that, you know, you get caught up in a win over the Rays like last night, and you forget that during the day yesterday there were people outside of hospitals protesting against a vaccine that is going to save people's lives. So I think that we can't get caught up in baseball. We can use it as a absolute, you know, escape from reality for a couple hours every day, but we have to remember that we're still in a global pandemic. We still need to be doing what's best for our community as a whole, and I think the Blue Jays are absolutely doing that, and I'm really happy for all the people who are in the stands last night and proud of them for getting their vaccine.